7th of February, no, 2017. Right, Charlotte, when and how did you come to be living on a barge in Maldon?
Well, in 1971, in the Easter of 1971, I was doing my A-levels, or supposed to be revising for my A-levels at school, where I was in school in Hertfordshire, and I noticed in the back of the Times, which we had daily in our, we had a edition of the Times newspaper delivered daily to our classroom, that they were advertising for people wanting to work on archaeological excavations in Essex. And I thought it'd be the ultimate prevarication to go and work on an excavation for some of my Easter holidays rather than just spending time looking in my textbooks prior to A-level exams in June. And I suppose some people might say the results were accordingly, but we won't go into that. However, I went to Chelmsford and worked on the site there, which is now, of course, under the crossroads at Molsham Street and the ring, new, what you call in the inner bypass these days. And that was run by the Chelmsford Excavation Committee under Paul Drury, who became very well known in Chelmsford and Essex environments as an archaeologist, and still is well known. But I got bitten by the bug, and that was fine. And having left school at the end of July after my A-levels, I was still only 17 at that point, so I had already arranged to take a year off before taking up a university place, partly because, you know, I felt a good break was in order from 10 years of school. Sorry about the chalk climbing. Anyway, you can't stop it. It's always finished now. Time three.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Had to edit that bit out. And having had a summer break and gone off and earned some money and been abroad, I came back in October of that year and to the UK and decided to look for some more excavations to go on. And Chelmsford people, I wrote to them, and they were running an excavation in Maldon. Not Paul Drury himself at that point. I think he was still busy in Chelmsford, but one of his assistants, who was then called who is called Steve Bassett, was actually taking on the site in Maldon High Street, and was looking for more staff. So I packed up my sleeping bag and boots, etc., and headed off to Maldon, to which I'd never been before. I'm not from Essex and didn't know Essex at all beyond Chelmsford and Little Waltham, where I had been the previous spring. October, of course, wasn't too bad weather-wise, but as the winter drew on, it was a pretty hard winter, particularly in the period following New Year of 1972. The spring, early spring, January, February was very cold. But we were living on a barge because archaeologists are notoriously badly paid, and it was usually the duty of the site supervisor, site manager in this case, Steve Bassett, to locate cheap accommodation for his staff, or their staff rather, and one or two people who were paid better than the diggers were able to afford accommodation sort of B&B style, but the diggers were found accommodation in a barge down on the Hythe, and it was in the Lady Guinevere, owned by somebody called Martin Loverock, who I gather, this may be not entirely true, is that he was an ex-solicitor, or had worked as a solicitor and had retired to Maldon to prop up the bar in the Queen's Head and live on a barge. Whether this is true or not, he was never very forthcoming about himself, so we never really got to substantiate this story, but that's the story that we were given. And Lady Guinevere was parked down where the barges still are, and it wasn't the one nearest, if I remember rightly, it wasn't the one nearest the quayside. So you had to go over somebody else's barge, and I can't remember which one that was, in order to arrive on the Lady Guinevere. But, I remembered the barge with great affection, really. It was great fun living there, better than a campsite in the middle of winter, certainly. But it was cold. There's no doubt about that. The barge was equipped with a very efficient fire in the saloon, an open sort of like a wood burner, but the cabins were absolutely freezing, and even if there were three or four of us, as there were, sleeping in the cabins, you still had no sense of warmth at all. But Mr. Loverock very kindly lent us all what he described as Arctic sleeping bags to actually augment our own sleeping bags. And these actually were very efficient, to say the least. But no, we ate as a group, usually had supper communally, which was, and it was taken, you know, there was a delegation of a chef's duty to be the, you know, assist in the preparation thereof.
So you could cook on board?
Oh yes, we had access to the galley, and we had access to the bathroom, and with a living area in the saloon. And Martin Lovrock had, his quarters were at the other side of the saloon, so we didn't really see him much. And it's true that most evenings after supper he tended to appear to head out in the direction of the Queen's Head. So, and, you know, was not likely to be seen again until midday the next day by anybody who, for any reason, was still on the barge, for example, at weekends. So his other, he clearly had another life elsewhere.
How did you manage for washing? And
laundrettes.
And washing yourself?
Well, the bathroom. The bathroom is on the, but it was pretty chilly, but the, there was a shower room on the barge in functioning, which was good. But I was going to say that he used to eat with us. He used to, part of his deal seemed to be that if we were cooking an evening meal, he had part of it. He was shared it with us, you know, which was fine. And one of the other arrangements that the site director had managed to achieve on our behalf, given that we were mostly, you're only paid for the days that you work under that scenario. So if the weather was vile, far too wet to be on site because you damage sites by actually excavating in the rain, there could be whole weeks where you earned virtually nothing and were therefore going to be barely able to to pay your way through. So deals who were done in the shops, particularly between the Hythe and the bottom of the High Street, or the middle of the High Street area, which is, you know, where the site was. Between, I remember, a baker who supplied us with stale bread from the day before for things, making things like bread pudding or other desserts that can be concocted with breadcrumbs or things that weren't able to be sold. And there was a butcher, I can't remember which side of the street it was on, but I think it was on the opposite side to the baker, and a greengrocer at that point. Of course, these shops are no longer in that part of the High Street. It's become very different, the lower bit before you get to the junction with Once Road. So, and a greengrocer whereby, you know, cheaper looking, sadder looking vegetables, the sort that would no longer pass muster in a supermarket, were certainly available to us for minimal purchase price, and a butcher who, you know, would pass off cheaper cuts of meat with a discount, which was that, you know. And of course we lived on stews and soups and, you know, seasonal vegetables, presented in lots of different ways with, you know, additions of things in order just to sort of keep alive, really. Lunchtime was our own responsibility, but and I think breakfast stuff we tended to sort of buy communally. But an evening, hot evening meal, if you've been on site all day, was really welcome, actually, mm-hmm. say the least.
Was it just the one barge that you were
just working? The one barge. And I suppose the team size was probably about, in total, probably the staff was never any much more than 10. And one or two people were local. There were a couple, I think, people who bust out from Chelmsford every day. So, or at various stages, obviously the personnel changes a lot over the winter.
Were there other residential barges alongside?
There must have been, but I'm not really conscious of who was living on them at that point, or any particularly barge community. I suspect if we'd gone into the Queen's Head, we might have known. I might have been able to answer that more often. We didn't patronise the Queen's Head for some reason.
And you mentioned an archaeological site halfway up the High Street.
Well,
can
yes,
you tell
this
us
is just
more about that?
The site. Of course, it was a site that was then being built for Tesco's, but is no longer Tesco's and is now, I believe, Iceland. Yes, it's on the opposite corner of the alleyway that goes down back towards the Friary, and Barclays Bank is on the other side of it.
What were they hoping to find there?
Well, Malden, if you know, is basically a Saxon town. The Saxon burgh is a bit further up the location of the centre of the Saxon town. It is definitely probably further up the hill towards Chelmsford, so to speak. But there obviously was activity on the Hythe. It's documented. You know, you think about the Battle of Maldon. There were obviously people living round and about, even if they weren't within the Hythe, within the burgh boundary. And So there was a very high likelihood that we could find early medieval occupation there, as well as, obviously, you know, the high street's clearly been built up, well, from the houses, the architecture, you can tell it's been built up from centuries. So you get, obviously, life there in the Middle Ages might be revealed, but the very hope was to get down to much earlier levels, which we did achieve eventually in the sort of spring of 72.
So how long altogether was the length of the deal?
Well, I wasn't there at the beginning and I wasn't there at the very end, but no, I was there almost at the end, actually. So it had started, I think they'd started in the September of 1971, and it must have finished around March 72. So basically you were digging all through the winter, which is never ideal. And I went away for a month or so over Christmas because of a family sort of crisis. I went to look after somebody who isn't very well, and I came back in the January for the last month or so. So I wasn't there continuously.
Given that you were there near the end, what sort of things had they found?
Well, we had found traces of buildings, and unfortunately, and quite a lot of pottery of the right type, Ipswichware, etc. And that was confirmed by the visit from the... expert on this in this field, mm-hmm. But the end was hurried, and it was the weather was dreadful, and I think that, you know, there was probably a lot more we would have been able to get out over a drier period, but
Why was it hurried?
Because the developers wanted the site back, you know, they wanted to get on with their building. Spring's coming, the ideal to start construction, mm-hmm. but and that's the dates that had been negotiated, even with a stay of execution probably at the very end for a week or so. I think an extra week or so was negotiated. But the real tragedy, of course, is that these records were never... The site records were worked on at the time for a little bit money, but they were never published, and that's partly due to the person in charge of the site who didn't get round to it and has never really got round to it, unfortunately.
Might they be published at some future time?
They might be. I think they're in Chelmsford Museum now, but, of course, money for... publication of old sites is difficult, in spite of the fact that the site next door, either side of that site, both adjacent sites have been excavated since, and they would probably all make much more sense if they were joined together.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Ipswichware. What's special about
it? Well, it was just, that's the name given to some of the early pottery, early medieval pottery type, and it was what, you know, a clue to early settlement, and of course it had been found in Ipswich, which is a port, like Maldon, where the occupation and trading was known to be carrying on early, in the early medieval period.
So its distinctive characteristics.
Well, yes, it's grey and grotty, but but it was just, that was what one of the, I seem to remember, is one of the sort of things that we were hoping to find, and therefore, you know, indicate that Maldon had been perhaps not as thriving a port as Ipswich, but was certainly, and certainly you've got to assume that Maldon was a port in the early, much earlier medieval period, which I'm talking about pre-conquest period, rather than later, which we all know about. I mean, it's very obvious.
Is there anything more you want to say about the dig specifically?
No, except that if you look at the high street now, and it was a long time after I left in 1972 before I actually ever went back to Maldon, probably nearly 20 years, but it was... How can I put it politely? That end of Maldon was exceedingly run down at that period. And I don't think anyone would probably challenge that. And I do remember, in terms of Maldon's support, not just the tradesmen, but people like the Maldon Society and Carolyn Backus were very, very supportive and gave us space and, you know, were very, helpful to the whole process of there being an excavation in Maldon and to the two people undertaking it, really.
Thank you. Going back to your accommodation on the barge, you mentioned sleeping bags. Were there the beds and everything?
There were bunks in both, in the room that there was a sort of girls' dorm and a boys' dorm, and they were both each. I don't know what the barge had been used for, but I would suspect at some stage, you know, that it had been used for communal living, because it obviously, you know, it wasn't just an open hold anymore. Something had, it had been converted for a while, I would imagine.
And do you know what happened to the Guinevere?
Well, I did inquire about that because, you know, having been back to Maldon since, and it turns out that the Guinevere did go up to London, but was in a pretty shocking state by then.
So it was still capable of being
sailed. Just about. And eventually it, I believe, was moored at Battersea. This is, may not be true, but somebody did suggested that they thought they'd seen it at Battersea, but the record suggest, or the evidence suggested that it had long since collapsed and not been restored.
Right.
But I can't actually remember to which port it was actually, you know, like, you know, how they had their back at, on the back, they will say Harwich or Ipswich or Malden. No, I don't actually remember what its original home had been.
Wow. Thank you very much, Charlotte. Unless you've got more to add, I think that's been...
No, that's fine. That's all.
That's great. Thank you very much.